This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. Hey Pentecost _ Sun _ C. First posted July 18, 2010. Deuteronomy 30:9-14 Covenant Renewal, Psalm 25:1-9 Deliverance from Enemies, Colossians 1:1-14 Exhortations, Luke 10:25-37 The Good Samaritan, Deuteronomy Background, Deuteronomy is the renewal of the Covenant of Law, a rediscovery and reinterpretation of Exodus and the teachings of Moses in the light of later understanding. Deuteronomy paraphrase, if God's people will turn to the Lord with all their heart and soul, and trust and obey God's word, in Deuteronomy, and in the Bible as a whole, then God will prosper his people in their work, and in their possessions because he will again delight in them as he did in their forefathers. The renewed covenant is not too difficult or remote for God's people to do. It is not far off in heaven, or across the ocean, that they would have to make great effort to hear and do it. The word of God is near us, in our hearts and mouths, so that we can do it. Psalm paraphrase, the psalmist, David, the great human shepherd king of Israel, and forerunner of Christ, commends his soul, his existence, life, to the Lord, in whom he trusts entirely, and prays that the Lord will not allow him to be put to shame or to allow the psalmist's enemies to have victory over him. May no one who waits for the Lord be put to shame, rather, let the wantonly treacherous be ashamed. Help me to know your ways and teach me to live according to your precepts, Lord. Lead me to discover and learn your truths, for you are my God, my Savior. I wait for you all day long. Remember your mercy and steadfast love, Lord, for they have been your nature from of old. Don't remember the sins, specific acts of disobedience, general sinful nature, and rebellion of my youth. Instead, please remember me according to your steadfast love, for the sake of your goodness. Because the Lord is good and upright, he teaches sinners how to live according to his way. The Lord leads and teaches the humble how to live according to his way, to live by what is right, according to his word. Colossians paraphrase, in his letter to the Christians of the church at Colossae in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, Paul greeted them as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, rather than by appointment by men, and in the name of his protege and fellow missionary, Timothy. He blessed them with the grace and peace which is only from God the Father. Paul gave thanks to God for the Colossians because he had received reports of their faith in Jesus, and their love for all the saints, all who are consecrated to God, believers in Christ, because of their hope, in the gospel, of eternal life, in heaven, by Epaphras, Colossians 1:7-8. They had heard this by the preaching of the truth, the gospel, as they learned it from Epaphras, a Colossian convert sent by Paul to preach the gospel to the Colossians, Paul's fellow missionary, and minister of Christ in Paul's behalf, since Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. From the day of Epaphras' report to Paul, Paul had never ceased praying for the Colossian church, praying that it and its members be filled with the spiritual wisdom and understanding of the knowledge of God's will, so that they could, individually and collectively, lead lives fully pleasing and worthy of the Lord, and bearing spiritual fruit in all sorts of good deeds, and thus increasing the general knowledge of God among all people. Paul prayed that the Colossian Christians would be strengthened by unlimited power, endurance and patience with joy, according to the Lord's glorious might, with thanksgiving to God who has qualified us to share in the saints, believers in Christ, of light. Jesus is the light of righteousness, John 1:4-5, 3:19-21, 8:12, to Corinthians 6:14. Through Jesus we are delivered from the domination of darkness into the kingdom of light. In Jesus we have forgiveness of sin and redemption from slavery to sin and eternal death. Luke paraphrase, a lawyer, scribe, teacher of the law of Moses, attempted to test Jesus by asking what one must do to inherit eternal life. In reply, Jesus asked him what the law said. The lawyer quoted Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18, that one must love God with all their being, and their neighbor just as they love themselves, a summary of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said that the lawyer had answered correctly and that if he did as he had said, he would have eternal life. But the lawyer wanted to justify himself, make himself appear righteous, so he asked Jesus who the lawyer must consider his neighbor. In reply, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. A person was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, was assaulted by robbers, and left for dead. A priest and a Levite, lay associate of the priest, representing the most righteous of the Jews, were passing by. They saw the victim and crossed the road to avoid coming into contact with him. But a Samaritan, asterisk Samaritans were the disabled and poor remnant of the northern kingdom of the divided monarchy of Israel not deported by the Assyrians at the defeat and destruction of the northern kingdom in 721 BCE. Because of the Assyrian policy of pacifying conquered territories by exporting natives and importing aliens from other conquered territories, the people intermarried and company mingled religions, resulting in the Samaritans, people considered by Jews to be of corrupt race and religion, not true Jews racially or religiously. When he saw the victim, had compassion on him, gave him first aid, and carried him to an inn, the equivalent of a modern emergency room, where he arranged for the victim's care at the Samaritan's expense. Jesus asked the lawyer which of the three demonstrated that he was the neighbor of the victim. The lawyer supposed that it was the Samaritan, who had compassion for the victim, and Jesus told the lawyer to do likewise. Commentary: God's word contains both great promises and ominous warnings. God's word is eternal, and is always fulfilled, over and over, as the conditions for its fulfillment are met. We will either receive the promises by trusting and obeying God's word, or we will receive the curses God's warnings were intended to help us avoid. In the record of God's dealing with God's people in the Bible, when the people trusted and obeyed God they were blessed, and when they disobeyed they suffered. In this passage, God promises that the people, who had forgotten and neglected God's word returned to obedient trust, God would bless and prosper them again, as he had their ancestors. This word applies to us, particularly in America, today. Do we think we are prospering and will continue to prosper without obedient trust in the Lord? God promised a renewed covenant that would not be impossible for them to fulfill. Deuteronomy is the renewal of the old covenant of law, but which foreshadows the new covenant, testament, of grace through faith in Jesus, initiated on the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, Matthew 26:26-28. The old covenant of law was impossible for God's people to keep all the time, James 2:10, and so continual sacrifices were necessary for the forgiveness of their sins, Hebrews 9:22. Jesus became the one and only sacrifice, once for all time and all people willing to receive it by faith, for the forgiveness of all our sins. If we believe, trust and obey Jesus, all our sins are forgiven. Jesus is the only one who baptizes with the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, John 1:31-34. Only those who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. By the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Word of God, in the Bible and in Jesus Christ, the living Word, the fulfillment, embodiment and example of God's Word lived in this world in human flesh, John 1:1-5:14, is in our hearts and on our lips, Acts 2:16-18, Joel 2:28-29. Our ultimate enemies are spiritual, sin, eternal death, and Satan, who enslaves us in sin and death. Those who trust and obey Jesus Christ are freed from the slavery to Satan, sin and death. There is a day of judgment coming, when everyone will be accountable to the Lord for what they have done in this lifetime, John 5:28-29. Those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and have trusted and obeyed his teachings will receive eternal life in paradise restored in heaven with the Lord. Those who have rejected Jesus and have refused to trust and obey him will receive eternal destruction in hell with all evil, Matthew 25:31-46. To Thessalonians 1:5-10. In the day of judgment, everyone will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord, Philippians 2:10-11, but it will be too late to change our eternal destinies. In that day, many will be ashamed, even those who have professed to be Christians, Matthew 7:21-27. The Lord wants to teach us the way to live the best possible life. That is only possible through his word. But the Lord won't force us to learn and live according to His ways. The Lord cannot teach the proud and arrogant. Only those who are humble can be taught by Him. Jesus declared that He came not to heal those who think they are well, but those who realize that they are sick, Matthew 9:12. Someone once said that there are only two kinds of people in the world, sinners who think they're righteous, and the righteous who know that they are sinners. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is deliberately intended by God to be the prototype and example of a modern, post-resurrection, born-again, disciple, student, and apostle, messenger, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as all believers can become. Paul was called to apostleship by the Spirit of the risen Jesus, Acts 9:5. Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and Jesus convicted him of spiritual blindness, Acts 9:1-4-8. Paul repented, accepted Jesus as Lord, Acts 9:5-9, was discipled by a born-again disciple, Ananias, Acts 9:10-17, and was baptized with the indwelling Holy Spirit, Acts 9:18. Then guided by the Holy Spirit, he began proclaiming the gospel, Acts 9:20-22. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, and teaching them to obey all that Jesus taught, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Paul immediately began fulfilling that command. Paul is the example of disciple-making that the church and individual born-again believers are to follow. We are to wait within the church, being discipled by born-again disciples, until we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5-8. It takes born-again disciples to make born-again disciples. If the unregenerate, you and born-again, knew what they were missing and how to get it, they wouldn't be unregenerate. Then we are to proclaim the gospel and make other born-again disciples. Paul's discipling of Timothy is one of numerous examples of the principles of disciple-making. Paul discipled Timothy until Timothy received the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit, to Timothy 1:5-7, and then Paul told Timothy to repeat the process, to Timothy 2:2. Unfortunately, in too many instances in the nominal church, the church has settled for making members and building buildings, instead of making disciples. Mainline denominations are teaching the false doctrine of salvation by grace, which is true, without the requirement of discipleship, which is false. See false doctrines, sidebar, right. Discipleship is not optional, not only for super Christians. Christians are by definition, born-again disciples of Jesus Christ, the only authentic Christians there are, Acts 11:26c. Paul's apostleship was not by human appointment. Paul did not have to go to church headquarters in Jerusalem to be licensed to be an apostle. Too often, the nominal church today fails to make born-again disciples from whom to select born-again leaders, and then controls the leadership selection process, so that only those who will teach the denominational doctrines are licensed. The result is the self-replication of unregenerate leadership. I think it is worth noting that in many instances the nominal church today is in the same situation as Judaism at the time of Jesus' first coming. Judaism in the first century had forgotten their obligation to be shepherds of God's people, and were running the religion according to their own agenda and for their own benefit. Since Paul was unable to come to the congregation himself, Paul had sent Epaphras, a fellow missionary, to found the church at Colossae by the preaching of the gospel, and was now discipling the congregation by letter from prison. Paul was teaching the principle of spiritual growth. Accepting Jesus as Lord is not the end of the process, but only the beginning. Believers are given the indwelling Holy Spirit to lead them in discipleship through spiritual growth to Christian maturity. Only those who are committed to obedience to Jesus Christ are given the Holy Spirit. From then on the Holy Spirit will lead them, one day at a time, in spiritual growth, as newly born again disciples read, meditate, and pray on God's Word daily. The first thing new believers need to do, before they are born again, is to read the entire Bible. There are numerous one-year Bible reading plans available, see free Bible study tools, sidebar, right. One should set aside a specific time each day to read the Bible with meditation and prayer, daily devotions. Once one has read the Bible and been born again, the Holy Spirit will be able to continue discipling the believer through daily devotions. Various denominations publish booklets for daily devotions, but beware that not all are doctrinally sound. This Bible study, My Daily Walk, is an example of daily devotional material which I believe is biblically sound. W.C. Fields, a celebrity comedian and notorious atheist, is reported to have been seen reading a Bible. When asked why, he said that he was just looking for a loopholes. http://www.imp.com/name/mm00121/bio. The lawyer in the text of the Good Samaritan was also just looking for a loopholes. The point of the parable of the Good Samaritan is that everyone is our neighbor, but the question is, to whom are we willing to be neighbor? The lawyer wanted to be regarded as righteous. The priest and the Levite in the parable would have been regarded by Jews as righteous, but they were more concerned for their own appearance of righteousness than for the physical needs of the victim. If the victim were dead, they would become ceremonial unclean for a period of time. The Samaritan was regarded as impure in both race and religion, and yet it was the Samaritan who fulfilled the second great commandment to love one's neighbor as oneself, Matthew 22:35-40. When we read God's word in the Bible, are we willing to hear truth and accept correction, or are we looking for rationalizations to excuse ourselves? When Jesus said that anyone who loves his family more than Jesus is unworthy of him, Matthew 10:37, Luke 14:26, are we willing to honestly examine ourselves and accept correction? Family, along with money, career, possessions, power, success, etc., is one of the modern idolatries. An idolatry is anyone or thing that one loves as much as, or more than, the Lord. When one has to choose between what family and what the Lord wants them to do, and chooses to satisfy family, one has committed the sin of idolatry. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-14, Ephesians 1:13-14.